Hi, thanks for being here. Our trauma system is turning 30 years old this year. I have no relationships to disclose. So the reason for this presentation is, like I said, the San Diego County trauma system is turning 30 years old this year. We've had a great year marking the anniversary, remembering how it all got started 30 years ago, and focusing on providing another 30 years of great trauma care in San Diego. So I'm actually going to bear with me here. I'm going to read a little bit of history just so you have the setting here. So in October 1983, with the support and direction from the San Diego County Board of Supervisors, the Department of Health Services created an ad hoc trauma advisory task force to assist in the review and evaluation of the Hospital Council Medical Society Trauma Plan. The advisory group of outside trauma experts conducted public hearings and informal sessions with hospital and pre-hospital trauma providers and synthesized the experiences of other trauma systems into a single set of recommendations for the department and the Board of Supervisors to consider. Once the trauma standards were adopted, the department implemented a competitive selection process, seeking to designate 5 adult trauma centers and 1 pediatric trauma center. 6 facilities were awarded provisional designation status based on the quality of trauma services provided. So then on August 1st, 1984, after 16 months of direct preparation, major trauma victims in San Diego County began bypassing community hospitals in favor of designated trauma centers. So August 1st, 1984, so we just hit that a couple months ago. And then by 1993, the trauma system had treated its 50,000th, and in 99, our 100,000th trauma patient. In 2002, we did a comprehensive review of our trauma system. At this point, all of the trauma centers were not using the same registry software. So it was really difficult to compile statistics at the county level. So as a part of this comprehensive system review that took place in 2002, it was recommended that all of the trauma centers should be on the same registry system. So this system, which we are still using today, was developed by a company called Digital Innovations over the next several years. And actually then by 2006, the first hospital made the switch to the current registry, and then the last hospital made the switch over in 2010. So we've about 4 years now where we've finally all been on one central registry. A couple other milestones. We treated our 200,000th patient in 2009, and then this year, the year that we turned 30, we treated our 250,000th patient. So again, we are 5 adult trauma centers and 1 pediatric trauma center, and there's the names of them there. So with 5 adult trauma centers, how do you decide where to send a patient? All the pediatric trauma patients, 14 and under, obviously go to our children's hospital. But then with the adults, we developed a system called the trauma catchment system, which is based on population distribution and transport times. So transport to a regular ED, we allow patients to request which ER they're going to go to, which ED they're going to go to, but trauma patients can't request this. And they're not necessarily taken to the nearest trauma center either. And health insurance does not play any part in this. So this is the map we developed. You can see that these are 5 adult trauma centers, and it's split this way. So it's where your injury takes place determines where you go, and there's really no getting around that. So over 30 years, what can we look at that's happened in our trauma system? And I kind of broke it down into these 3 categories here. We'll look at trauma volume, we'll look at the cause of injury, and then we'll look at outcomes. So what are the potential external factors affecting trauma volume? Obviously, increased population is going to be one factor. But the main factor has actually been a higher percent of injuries being diverted to trauma centers. We realized pretty quickly that injured patients do better when they're sent to a trauma center over an ED. So over time, a higher percent were sent to the trauma centers. And so 1985 up to 2013, you can see we've about had 160% increase in our trauma volume. And when you compare that to our population, our population's increased by 45% in the same time. And it's 168, actually, an increase in trauma volume. So it's not just a factor of the population. It's you know, we recognize that these trauma centers do serve a valuable purpose to the patients. So then how does this increase in trauma volume affect the system? Really, it's just an increased burden on the system, which is an increased need for staffing, increased need for ambulance and EMS services. And then this does increase bypass, though, too. If a trauma center has, you know, two or three active trauma patients in the trauma bay, they've got to go on bypass. So this is a major thing to consider. But what we need to ask ourselves, though, is does this increase on the increased burden on the system and increased volume, does this lead to poor outcomes? And we'll look at that. We'll get to that a little bit later. So what are the potential external factors affecting cause of injury? Mostly it's going to be things like trauma-related legislation, like laws, safety improvement, and technology. And technology isn't always a good thing. You know, when new things are invented, like razor scooters, you know, that's not always a good technological advance when it comes to trauma. And then an aging population, again, is going to play a major role in the cause of injury. So these are just a few of the trauma-related legislation that have occurred over the 30 years of our system. I'm not going to read them to you, but what you'll see is there's a lot of them that have to do with motor vehicle safety, and there's a lot of them that have to do with things like gun safety. You know, and motor vehicle and gun safety and guns are, you know, two major contributors to trauma. So, and then specifically for motor vehicle safety, these are just a few of the kind of the areas that have become more safer with cars that have affected, you know, the amount of trauma patients that there are from motor vehicle accidents. And so here we have, 1987 motor vehicle accidents peaked. They represented about 37% of our trauma volume in 1987. And because of that, all those legislation and regulations, you can see it's decreased since then, and it's only down to about 15% of our trauma volume today. So conversely to this are fall-related traumas. And you can see we've had an almost 800% increase in fall-related traumas over the 30-year life of our system. So this is motorcycles. Motorcycles early on represented about 16% of our trauma volume. Came way down, but actually since the mid-90s, we're creeping back up again now. People are turning back to motorcycles. I don't know why. So this is assaults. And you can see assaults peaked in the early 90s. About one quarter of our trauma volume was due to assaults. And assaults are almost, when in trauma, assaults are going to be stabbings and gunshots. And so it's probably no coincidence that in 1994, the Brady Handgun Act, which was accounted for a 5-day waiting period and a background check on handguns. And so since then, we've had a decrease in percent of trauma volume from assaults. So self-inflicted injuries have always represented a fairly small amount of trauma, although we are creeping back up again. It 2002 was our low point there, but it has crept back up since then. So trauma injuries are immediately classified into one of two categories, either penetrating or blunt. And blunt injuries represent 90 plus percent of injuries. So penetrating, these are the number of penetrating injuries we've had over the years. And again, you can see the early 90s, which again are going to be your gunshot victims and your stabbings. It peaked in the early 90s and has come down since then. The blunt injuries looks almost exactly like the total injuries, because again, blunt injuries represent 90 plus percent of trauma injuries. So this is total volume, and again, this is just for our most severe trauma injuries. This is injury severity score of 15 and greater. And so this is our trauma volume over the years by cause of injury, and you can see for a long time, you know, motor vehicles were the main one, but then you see falls is the orange one there in the middle lately. And this is actually seen better. So this is out of total percent. Again, it's the same thing, but out of 100%. And you can see the shift that has occurred from motor vehicle to falls. And honestly, if there is one takeaway from this presentation, let it be this slide. So basically, motor vehicle accidents and falls have flipped in the 30-year life of our trauma system. So our system and all trauma centers and trauma systems, for that matter, actually must recognize that the trends for these fall-related injuries are most likely going to continue into the future. And preparing to treat large increase in older adults is a vital component for continued success in trauma. So what are the potential factors affecting patient outcome over the years? Well, for one, obviously, improved trauma care is the number one factor affecting outcomes. Improved EMS services has been a factor, getting them there faster, getting them, the proper care in the ambulance on the way there. Again, we've looked at those trauma-related regulations and laws. And then how does, the cause of injury affect outcomes? Because we're getting more falls, are those easier or harder to treat than the motor vehicle accidents? Well, and that's one of the limitations to what we can look at. In a perfect world, we've got 30 years of trauma data sitting in one registry, and I could just push the magic buttons on the keyboard and do research. But unfortunately, we've got five or six databases strung across the 30 years with varying degrees of trauma of data validation, varying degrees of data collection. Early on, they counted all of the trauma patients, but only those with an ISS of greater than 10 did they collect all of the data on things like cause of injury and things like that. So we've got a big chunk early on that there isn't even a whole lot of data there. So anyway, this is again our mortality rate for the ISS 15 or greater, the most severe trauma injuries. And so when we started 30 years ago, about 1 in 5 of our severely injured trauma patients died in our trauma centers, and today we've cut that to 1 in 10. And again, this is the ISS 15 or greater. So our survival rate of ISS less than 15 is 99%. Our overall mortality rate is about 2%. So again, this is one of our greatest accomplishments in the 30-year life of our system is cutting this number in half. So to wrap it up here, we've seen a major increase in trauma volume, and that's just going to continue, and we've got to prepare for it. There's nothing we're going to do about that. And there's nothing we're going to do about this shift from motor vehicle accidents to falls. Our trauma surgeons have got to prepare themselves. We did see that spike in penetrating injuries and assaults in the early 90s, and that's come down since then. But most importantly, has been our outcomes. The mortality rate for the most severely injured patients has been cut in half over the life of the system. So that's it. We're turned 30 years old. We're excited about it. That's what this presentation is based on. Thank you. Yes, sir. Self-inflicted? Self-inflicted injuries actually make up a very small amount of trauma. They wouldn't have been in the falls or the motor vehicle. Unfortunately, if somebody is going to do a self-inflicted injury and it's a trauma, more often than not, they're dead on scene and they don't get to the trauma center and they don't.
If they're counted.
No. If they're dead on scene and they're not transported, they're not in this data I'm presenting here today. They would never make it into our trauma registry. Now, they would be in our medical examiner database, and we can look at them that way, and we certainly have been looking at them that way in our county, and we have been seeing an increase in suicides in our county.
Patient
transport to the hospital. There are some that are dead on arrival even, but they have to get transported there to get into our trauma registry. They can be there for 30 seconds, and they will be
perfect
in our trauma registry. Now, we do subsets of our analysis, where you're looking at like MTOS-type stuff, where they have to be there for 24 hours or 48 hours or something like that. But our trauma registry, which we're, about 12,000 a year now, is
everybody.
Every single
yes,
person.
DOA.
Every single person.
Okay.
Dead on scenes.
Okay.
dead on arrival may make it in.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we have 6 hospitals, and again, I'm at the government level, the local government level, so I don't directly work for any of those 6 hospitals, so I can't speak to how they do their financing. It's complicated in San Diego. I know that for sure. Again, I'm not going to speak on how their financing occurs at any of their hospitals. Blood thinners are the major factor there, right?
Kind of big driver for that.
Yep.
And I was kind of wondering what you're doing in the community or what the community is doing to educate people about falls, what's going on the prevention side.
Well, we do have a major prevention side to that, and it's we'd be foolish not to be, you know, approaching that very strongly. It's our health promotion side, falls is a major focus of theirs. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Well, our children's hospital is great, and I think their numbers are actually decreasing. Our total trauma volume is increasing. Their numbers are stable and possibly even decreasing, which is great, you know, that our prevention efforts have been such that, you know, furniture fall, you know, things from furniture falling on kids, that's a major source of trauma. The prevention efforts are out there, and those numbers are decreasing, so... Yeah.
Did you look at the age, like, are you sure that the increase evolved
through an aging population totally? No, like he said, it's also an increase, we're just taking them there now. They used to get transported to the ED, you know, and now they're being transported to trauma centers because very often they're on blood thinners. And so a fall that, you know, you might call a simple injury becomes a more severe injury when they're on blood thinners then. So it is a change in our practice as well. Yes.
I'm just curious what we use the term blood thinners, but in our region we don't have any sort of criteria for blood thinning medications. Are you talking like any antiplatelet or any anticoagulant or both?
Well, not being an MD, I... And we have an intermediate designation. They can be taken to the hospital that has the trauma center, but then it's called trauma resource. But they're actually then taken to the ED and then seen by a trauma surgeon, and then the trauma surgeon makes the decision on whether or not to bump them up to trauma at that point. Lots of different falls, right? I mean, there's fall from same level, there's fall from height, there's fall from, and it's all based on ICD-9 E-code.
So if a child fell off the bike, would that be
considered? Yes, yes. Well, yes, I believe so. I mean, could be called a pedal cycle accident too, I guess. Again, it would be great if I had all of this all of our data in a single registry, and it was hard enough to just get out, you know, total volume and cause of injury when you're dealing in five different databases. So I don't really want to speak to that on 30 years, because I'd just be making stuff up. In the back. Unless they're in pediatric, all pediatrics go to the same one, though, yeah.
I know that understandably with trauma, you know, time is of the essence, but has there been any movement to differentiate service lines, or to move a little bit towards more centers of excellence type model?
Not in our county. We do, it comes up every once in a while where we think about allowing them to request a hospital to go to. But we always end up deciding, you know, a trauma patient can't make, we have to assume a trauma patient can't make decisions, you know. So
each of your
six, yeah.
So all six offer the exact same?
No, we have two of the adult trauma centers are level one, and the other three adult are level two. So often a patient may get transported to the level two trauma center and then need to be transferred to one of the level ones. And so then that would cross the catchment boundary lines, but they will always have gone to their proper trauma center to begin with. Yeah. Yes.
So you have a helicopter ambulance?
Yes, we have two companies, and they share patients. And actually, they fly our pediatrics quite a bit, because often, you know, there's just one location for pediatrics, so. Okay, thank you very much.